Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now this is a famous passage of Scripture, known by the name of the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father. Some choose to call it the Disciples' Prayer, because what Jesus is doing here is teaching us how to pray. And we've looked at this passage of Scripture in the past in great detail. Tonight I want to just focus on one verse, and that is in verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is a statement of submission. And I want you to notice that it is the response or the product of verse 9, which is worship. Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is coming to God in worship, hallowing His name, lifting up His name, saying, Lord, let your name be holy. Let your name be sanctified. Let it be lifted up. And then right away in verse 10 is a statement of submission. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So true submission is a part of true prayer. But true submission requires a true heart. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22 says that when we draw near to God, we must draw near with a true heart, or a sincere heart, or a pure heart. So the question we need to answer tonight is, what is a true heart? If true prayer comes from a true heart, then we need to understand what a true heart is. But before we can answer that, we have to understand what the Bible means by the word heart. So let's go back to Genesis in chapter 6. I want to look at three verses that define for us what the Bible means by the word heart. Genesis chapter 6, and we will begin in verse 5. Now the context here is the corruption of the world, the corruption of mankind in God's plan to destroy the world with a flood. In chapter 6 and verse 5 it says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's a dreadful description of mankind at that point in the history of the world, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The world had become so overcome by wickedness that man's heart had become so depraved that everything that he thought and everything that he did and everything that he wanted was evil. But notice verse 5 says, every intent of the thoughts of his heart. So the first thing that the heart means is the intellect, the thoughts. There are the thoughts of his heart. So when the Bible speaks of the heart, it is speaking of the intellect of man, our thoughts. But now the very next verse also reveals that it refers to our emotions. Speaking of God, it says, "And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His," what? "Heart." So, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's speaking of intellect, our thoughts. It's also speaking of emotions. Here, it's speaking of God, who was grieved in His heart. Now look at chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 21. This is after the flood. Noah and his family are now off of the ark. Noah has built an altar and he has offered sacrifices unto God in verse 20. But in verse 21 it says, "And the Lord smelled the soothing aroma, and the Lord said to Himself, 'I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done.'" So here, it teaches us that the heart also includes the will. So when the Bible speaks of the heart of man, it is speaking of the intellect, our thoughts. It is speaking of our emotions. And it is speaking of our will, our intentions, our motives, what we choose to do. In other words, when the Bible uses the word heart, it's speaking of the whole person. Not the blood-pumping organ inside of our chest, but the whole person. Our thoughts, our emotions, our will. So getting back to our original question then, what is a true heart? We need to define a true heart as the surrender of the whole person to God. If the heart is the mind, the emotions, and the will, and God says, "I want you to come to me with a true heart," then we need to understand that to have a true heart in prayer before God means that we must come to God with the full surrender of our whole person to Him. To have a whole heart. That our mind is dedicated to Him, surrendered unto Him. What we are going to think is surrendered unto Him. How we feel, our emotions are surrendered to His authority. We're not going to allow ourselves to be controlled by our emotions. Because our emotions are under the control of God. And our will, our intentions, our motives, the things that we choose need to be in surrender to God. James 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." But then it goes on to warn us about not being double-minded. Being double-minded is the opposite of being wholehearted. Wholehearted means you are singular. Singular in your love, your devotion, your surrender. Double-minded means you're a fence walker. Today you're surrendered to God. Tomorrow you're surrendered to the world. Vice versa. Today you're being governed by your emotions. Tomorrow you're governed by the Word of God. Double-minded. That's not what God wants. He wants us to come to Him with a true heart. Surrender of the whole person to God. That's really what's taking place here in this statement, this part of this model prayer, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." This is a surrender to the will of God, the surrender to the kingdom of God, His plan, His rule, His reign in our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 26. I want to look at the example of the Lord Jesus, our ultimate example of one who surrendered his whole heart to God. Matthew 26, if you'll find verse 36. "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then He said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with Me.' And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me, yet not as I will, but as Thou wilt.' And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So, you men could not keep watch with Me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, Thy will be done.' And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. This is the full surrender of the Son of God to the Father. And Jesus had to surrender His whole being. And in surrendering His whole being, as He agonized over this trial in prayer with God, He had to surrender His intellect, His thoughts, His emotions, and His will. He had to surrender His intellect, the thoughts that He had in His human person, in His humanity. He had to surrender the thoughts of maybe not being able to quite figure out how all of this was going to work together. Of course, in His divine mind, He knew, He understood. But you're talking here about the humanity of Christ being put to total test. A surrender of His thoughts to God, a surrender of His emotions to God, everything that He was feeling, everything that He was agonizing. And then to surrender His will to God. And ultimately, in that great statement that He makes, "Yet not as I will, but as Thou will." What is prayer? Prayer is the wholehearted submission of our imperfect will to the perfect will of God. That's all wrapped up in that statement, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." We have a plan, but it may not be God's plan. We have a will, but it's an imperfect will. And prayer is one of the things that God uses to cause us to bring our imperfect will into total surrender to His perfect will. And He uses painful trials in our lives to do that. Because He knows how tightly we hang on to our own lives and the things that are precious and dear to us. And so He uses painful times in our lives to bring us to that place of wholehearted submission of our imperfect will to the perfect will of God. So tonight when we go to pray, let's pray truly from our hearts, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Lord, I want Your reign in my life. I want You to rule and reign over my thoughts, my emotions, my will. I want my will to be completely surrendered to Yours, that I might walk with You and experience the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we need help. We need You to teach us how to pray. The disciples of Christ knew that, and they came to Jesus and said, "Master, teach us how to pray." And Jesus taught them. Father, we are like them. We need You to instruct us in Your Word. We need Your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in prayer, that our hearts will truly be in submission to You, our minds, our emotions, our will. We know, Father, that we are just so easily tricked by our own depravity. And we so desperately need You to be constantly working in our hearts and showing us the truth and teaching us how to live in full surrender to You. So we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your Word, and we pray that You'd help us to apply it, that we might follow the example of the Lord Jesus, who was fully surrendered unto You. In His name we pray. Amen.